الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، الحمد لله، it's Allah's infinite mercy that He has allowed us to join this course and keep coming back every week. Alhamdulillah, He's given us the tawfiq. May He also give us the tawfiq to act upon what we read, inshallah, what we hear, the best of what we hear, inshallah. So the topic that we've been speaking about for the past 2-3 weeks are the etiquettes of a student within himself. We began with intention. After intention, we spoke about obstacles, usual obstacles that come in the way that deter us from seeking knowledge. We also spoke about the need to suffice on the minimum level of food, clothes, other worldly goods. We also spoke about value of time. And also we spoke about how much is the minimum and what we should be eating, what our diet is like. On that note, the next point is a good diet. Now, types of food to avoid. This is mentioned in Ibn Jama'a's book, right? He mentions some types of food that should be avoided. But what we need to realize is that he's speaking in his context and his geographical location, right, which is in the Arab world. And this is very important. When it comes to dietary advice, you need to take those things into consideration. So, for example, you know, what is the climate of that country? Right? So sometimes something that would be beneficial for someone in a climate which is very hot might not have the same or the desired effect that you would want in England, for example. So although he mentioned some types of food, you need to be wary. What I would recommend is you find out from health experts and doctors what is the most appropriate diet for you. Right, we already know that things that have too much fat and salt and sugar, those without a doubt we can avoid. But when it comes to other specific types of foods, subhanAllah, like I said, you need to find out what is more appropriate for you and what is not. I say this because Ibn Jama'a mentioned some examples. And as I said, wallahu alam, I'm no expert in this field. You would have to speak to a health expert. For example, he mentions sour apples, beans, vinegar. Ibn Jama'a says you stay away from them. He also says stay away from foods that increase phlegm, cause the mind to become sluggish, and make your body heavy, such as excessive dairy products, fish, and similar foods. He also speaks about the types of foods that you should have, right? And again, like I said, it's wallahu alam, but he says coagulated milk, resin from the mastic tree, eating raisins in the morning, drinking rose water, wallahu alam. One advice that we usually hear from a lot of our elders, and we've heard this from when we were very young, and even now people, they've got this ingrained into their mind. Wallahu alam, I'm not sure about what the actual experts say about it, but almonds are quite popular for people who say they want to improve in their memory. right? Wallahu alam, I don't know if anyone has heard or anyone has expertise in this field who can share. If anyone else knows any types of food and drink that are beneficial for you, then feel free to share, inshallah. We usually hear, I mean, of course, Zamzam water, without a doubt, subhanAllah. Honey, right? Yeah, of course, yes. Honey, you know, again, each person is different. You need to look at your own body, your own requirements. What is appropriate for some people might not be appropriate for others. But subhanAllah, honey is quite amazing. It's quite high on the sugar level, sugar intake, a glucose. But subhanAllah, I was speaking to an expert about this, and I mentioned and I said, honey, subhanAllah, we hear from the hadith that honey is has healing, has shifa in it. What's your advice on it? What do you think about people, for example, who should be avoiding sugary foods? And he mentioned something quite interesting. He said, I advise them to be moderate and always have a little bit of honey in their diet. He said, reason being is because if they were to have it daily, then it would be detrimental for them. But I would not recommend it to completely take it out of your diet, because it has, subhanAllah, antibiotic healing properties, right? And this came from a non-Muslim. And he mentioned this, and I thought, subhanAllah, this is exactly what the hadith says, right? So honey, definitely, yeah, without a doubt. There's a hadith that speak about dates, seven dates, ajwa dates, every single day. We were advised by our respected teachers, almonds, nuts, and dry fruits. Yeah, subhanAllah, again, almonds mentioned, nuts and dry fruits, yes. These are all kind of advices that we were given from our teachers too. So when you read this book, Ibn Jama'a's book, Tadhkiratu Sami' wal Mutakallim, and you see these types of foods, just be aware that every single one of them might not apply to every single person. Now, the topic here is a good diet, but one of the subheadings here is actions to avoid, right? Now, this is another section in which Ibn Jama'a speaks regarding certain actions that you would do that cause forgetfulness. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about them. What we believe is if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it, or Allah mentions it in the Quran, then without a doubt we take it. And obviously, based on the narration, the veracity of the narration and how it's established, we will take it accordingly. If it's something that's been experienced by many people, many elders, many scholars, again, you know, it can be at the level of, something can be at the level of tawatur, not technical shar'i tawatur, but what I mean by tawatur is that it's just known. Let me give you an example. For example, the supernatural, right? The supernatural. The concept of certain beings being out there is probably tawatur among every single community. Every single community has stories about ghosts or jinn or spirits or something, right? Now, jinn are mentioned in the Quran. Of course, they're mentioned in the hadith. But one thing that strengthens it even more so, strengthens it more is the concept is established through tawatur, through mass transmission from every single community. Except we have a community now who just question everything. The, you know, things like the atheists or humanists, as they like to be called, skeptical about every single thing. But up until now, for hundreds and thousands of years, there have always been people who believed in the supernatural. Why am I saying this? Now, if we hear you should avoid this action, and it's a concept that is established through mass transmission from every community, and it's not mentioned in the Quran and Hadith, then it's fine. You can accept that and avoid those actions. However, if there's something, it sounds a bit dubious, or you might have not heard of it before, it's best to exercise precaution in these aspects. The reason why I say this is, again, because Ibn Jamara mentions a couple of things in his book, but you need to be careful. So he says also, reading tombstones. Stay away from reading tombstones because it causes forgetfulness, right? Walking between two camels that are walking in single file, right? Some of you are going to be scratching your heads thinking, what's going on? What are we reading here? Picking lice and other such practices, right? One thing that you can absolutely say in actions to avoid, actions that cause forgetfulness without a doubt, they are sins, right? Stay away from sins. Because knowledge is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a disobedient person very rarely will receive the gift. So staying away from actions, if they're sinful, if they are even makruh, right, which will bring us to the next point. Things that are makruh, right, for a scholar or a student, ideally we should avoid. What some scholars tend to do nowadays, unfortunately, is exercise the rukhsa themselves. Rukhsa means concession, and enforce the azima. Azima means the action, the hardcore rule. The strongest or the most strict version of that rule, right? And that's unfortunate. What scholars are supposed to do is encourage people to use the rukhsa, the concession, and take the azima upon themselves, which brings us to the next point. So again, before we go on to the next point, just to clarify, actions that cause forgetfulness. Has anyone else heard anything from elders or teachers about don't do this or don't do that? It will make you forget, or something bad will happen. I remember our parents or the elders, especially my auntie, rahimahullah, whenever we were praying salah in the home and we finished salah and the musalla, the sajada, is on the floor, she would always say, fold the edge, right? And I would ask, why fold the edge? Why do I need to fold the edge? And subhanAllah, she gave me some funny answers. So she basically said, fold the edge so shaitan doesn't pray, because shaitan is going to pray there. And later on, not at that point, at that time, I wasn't that smart to be able to, you know, suggest this to my auntie. But subhanAllah, later on, I thought, well, isn't it a good thing? Isn't it a good thing that shaitan prays? SubhanAllah, yeah. See, a brother here is mentioning that's exactly what happened to me. Yep. I'm sure many of us have had that. So she said, fold it. Otherwise, shaitan will pray. Right? We were told similar. SubhanAllah. And then I remember speaking to someone else about it. And I said, if Shaitan prays, it's a good thing, right? And it was an elder, and he said, no. Shaitan urinates on the place. And I was like, now it seems like you're making it up as you go along, right? Again, those things are not established. And I think they're more like hearsay, right? So again, with these actions that cause forgetfulness, or actions that if you do this, then Shaitan's going to do that. If you do that, if it's from hadith, bear in mind, what Shaitan does is from ghaibiyat that Allah knows and would have informed the Prophet ﷺ of. So it's not something that a companion or something that someone else could have. It can't be an athar. It can't be a narration from someone else, right? It's something from the ghaibiyat, and you have to understand that there needs to be some kind of proof for those things. So stay away from sins. Try to stay away from makruhat. Even things that are subhanAllah. In the Hanafi madhab, we have a concept known as khilaf al-awla. Khilaf al-awla. It's not even makruh. It's not even disliked. Khilaf al-awla is exactly what it says. It's contrary, doing contrary to what is best. SubhanAllah, yeah, someone just mentioned another action that we were threatened with as kids. Ladies to cover our heads when the adhan goes on. We were told as children that you urinated, SubhanAllah, uncovered during the adhan. Yeah, SubhanAllah, yeah. Be careful about all of those things. Be respectful. Ask scholars about it. Try to research the point. Don't go to your parents or your elders and ask and object in a way that's disrespectful. When we speak about how we're supposed to interact with our teachers, we're going to speak about this in particular in more detail. But, you know, have you ever heard this? I hear from people, scholars are so pig-headed. Scholars are so arrogant, you can't even ask them questions, right? And I'm sure there are people like that, whether they're scholars or not, there are definitely people like that. But one thing you need to understand is it doesn't help if you do not ask in a polite way, right? A scholar is not there to be your personal Google, right? Press the button and it does whatever you want. Everyone deserves a certain level of respect. And if you expect respect, you need to give respect. So when you're speaking to a scholar or a teacher and you're asking a question, for example, like this, say the concept of a musalla and I unfolding it, is there any basis for that in the deen? Right? Chances are the scholar will realize that you're being absolutely genuine and will answer you. But if you go up to a scholar and you say, where's the dalil, Sheikh? There's no dalil for this, Sheikh, right? Then I wouldn't blame the scholar for responding in a negative way. So, actions to avoid, find out about it. Speak to a scholar about it. Do some research. Don't just take it for granted and don't just take it as you've received it, right? Be careful with all of these actions. So as we were talking before about a higher path, what do we mean by a higher path? The higher path is the path of taqwa, right? Now there are concessions in Sharia, but a student should always seek out the path of excellence, ihsan and taqwa. And what that means is we have to aim for the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslims, the Salaf al-Salihun, and not be content with the bare minimum. SubhanAllah, when you study iftar and giving fiqhi rulings, they will always explain to you the importance of affording concessions to people. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he said, "Yassiru wa la tu'assiru, and bashiru wa la tunafiru." Right? So when you're speaking to people, try and make it easy for them. Try and find a way for them. But for yourself, the scholars of Iftar, the Muftis, are told, for yourself, don't take the concession. Try not to. You need to aim for a higher path, a higher ideal. And that's the ideal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslims, the Salaf al-Salihun. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to eat a date that he found on the road. Why? Because he feared it was from charity, even though it was quite unlikely that it was from charity. But he still refused to eat it. This is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, right? So this is the same with us. We spoke about the types of food. Someone asked the question about eating in restaurants and takeaways. Is it okay? Of course it is. You would be wrong to stand up on the minbar Friday and talk to the people and tell them you are not allowed to go to takeaways and restaurants. First of all, the restaurant owners will be on your back. Number two, those of us who are quite fond of food, takeout food or restaurant food, will also be on your back. That's not the way to do it. But subhanAllah, the higher path, a scholar, a student, they should seek, ideally, the higher path for themselves. Do not enforce it on anyone else, though. If you're a student, you've picked up a good quality, a good deed, then you can advise people, you should do this, you can do this. You know what, this is better, right? But do not enforce it on other people, right? Don't go home and start saying, this is wrong and that's wrong. Mom and dad, what are you doing? SubhanAllah, I remember something as a child. We used to pray salah again, and our parents used to say, put up the musalla or wear your hat, your topi or your kufi, wear it. And then we started to study. And throughout our studies, we start to learn the concept of fard, sunnah, nafl, mustahab. And we realized that there was no topi or musalla anywhere to be found in the fard of the wajibat. And so, me being this new scholar, mashallah, know it all, I come home and I tell my parents, one day I decide to pray without the musalla. And my father, my mother, after salah, what are you doing? And I say, no, you guys don't know. I think it's from back home. Blame everything on back home. But you don't need a musalla. You don't need a musalla for your salah to be accepted. And is that right? Of course, it's totally right. Should I have said it? Number one, no. And number two, is it entirely accurate? No. Because subhanAllah, over the years, I've come to realize that when I do not use a musalla, when I do not use my hat, and I pray in a way that would just be permitted, subhanAllah, I found that salah has less meaning. It becomes less of an occasion. For our parents, salah was an occasion. You have to be ready, your musalla ready. Make sure you're dressed well. SubhanAllah, make sure you're dressed well as well. There were certain scholars, Salaf al-Salihun, they used to wear their best thobes. And they used to put nice itar on that you would wear on Friday or Yawm al-Eid. And that's how they used to pray salah. Right? So this is very important. There are certain things that might not be fard, wajib, but we absolutely, subhanAllah, have to do them. As students and teachers too, we have to aim for what's best. Having said all of that, you can take necessary concessions when needed. And also, as an example, so that those who follow you take those concessions too, right? This is very important. Don't make things hard on yourself. For example, if a person is traveling at the time of Suhoor, he's traveling and he has the concession of not fasting in Ramadan, but he says, no, so, you know, how could I miss a Ramadan fast? I'm absolutely going to fast. That's wrong. Okay. Because he is going to suffer eventually. I mean, it might be for different people, it's going to affect them differently. So maybe you could take that into consideration too. But when a necessary concession comes along, you should take it, inshallah. And so that other people follow you. SubhanAllah. It's mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always smiled. The scholars who explain this, there's certain scholars who've seen that say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always smiled, and then there's certain hadith that say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mutawasilul ahzan, which means he was constantly in a state of worry. Right? When the scholars explain this, subhanAllah, they say that when he was alone in his home, he was constantly in worry and anguish for his people. Whereas when he was with people, then he would be jolly, outgoing, smiling. And another point they make is that he would smile and he would also joke. Not because he was a joker or a comedian, but he would do that so his companions would do the same. SubhanAllah. Right? So take necessary concessions so that other people can see and also take those concessions. The next point, sleep and rest. We need to have enough rest, right? But that does not mean you oversleep. No more than 8 hours. Right? If you can sleep less, if you can sleep less and you find that during the day you're totally fine, that's all good. Some people sleep 3-4 hours a night and they seem to be fine. I don't know how they do it, subhanAllah, but brilliant. But if you are sleeping less than 8 hours and you are falling asleep in class or you're falling asleep at your work, then you shouldn't be sleeping less than 8 hours. You should be sleeping 8. But subhanAllah, think about this. Even 8 hours a day in 24 hours, it's a third of your life. Right? A third of your life is gone just in sleep. So let's say some of us, we like to plan our whole lives out. Yeah, I'm going to live this long and this and that and so on and so forth. Some people think they're going to live to the age of 60 if they're lucky. Even if we didn't discard the first 5-6 years because we don't really do much then anyway, even if we don't discard that, we have 60 years, a third of that is gone in sleep. SubhanAllah. Some other scholars went and broke the whole thing down and they started to give numbers for how long you spend in the shower and how long you spend in the toilet, in the washroom, or how long you spend studying or working, and things like that. And then they broke it down and they said, you've basically got 10, 15 years of your life left to relax. And considering if you were to imagine that 20 years of your life gone in sleep, you have 40 left. And what scares me the most, or what should scare me the most, is that 40 years, and we find that difficult to change our lives, and we find that it difficult to sacrifice that. And we're not even told to just sacrifice it straight up. It's little sacrifices in the 40 years. Fear Allah. Don't do this. Don't do that. But we're willing to make the most of those 40 years in the dunya and sacrifice the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Don't decrease from 8 hours if it's to your detriment. Also, you need to rest so you can have energy to study. So you should take rest to ward off also boredom. One tip to try and keep yourself active and fresh is to change your activity. If you're becoming tired of memorizing, then take a break and do some reading. If you're reading, then do some memorizing. If you're tired of both, do some research. If you're tired of all of them, then lay down for 10, 15 minutes and just close your eyes and try not to think about anything. SubhanAllah, those power naps can do a world, it can make a world of difference. Also, exercise, which reinvigorates your body, and then you'll be primed for more study, inshallah. So that was sleep and rest. It's another etiquette a student should have within himself. Coming to the final point, socializing, very, very important. A student should refrain from useless socializing. Now, this concept of passing time is alien to the pursuit of ilm. In Islam, there should be no concept of, I'm just passing time, right? Also, refrain from free casual mixing of the sexes. This is established in the deen. You need to be very careful. Now, if you need to mix with the opposite gender in certain settings where it is unavoidable, then you can do so, but it shouldn't be casual. For example, you know, in the shops, you go shopping or you go to a shopping center. There's people around, or you're walking down the street. It's absolutely unavoidable, right? But you shouldn't meet and mix casually. Also in studies, subhanAllah, majority of scholars will tell you that you need to be segregated and separate, the males and the females, right? And there shouldn't be free mixing, or there shouldn't be free casual conversation. Try to avoid it as much as possible. Also, avoid carefree friends who will be a bad influence on you. Many fail in their pursuit of knowledge because of peer pressure. Right? You want to study, but then you have that friend, come, let's go chill. Let's go do this. Or we can do that later. Try to avoid that, right? Be careful in your relationships with people who have a negative influence on you, but are already part of your life, right? You can't, with certain people, you can't just break off. Try and disassociate gradually without offending them. But if disassociating is going to be detrimental, then be wise about it, right? Decrease your contact, restrict your conversations to advice, and that will hopefully help the person. Try to be a good influence on people and beware of being influenced. This is very important. Instead of continuously being influenced by people and finding yourself deteriorating, you make it your life's mission to be a positive influence on people. Befriend someone who is pious, religious, and like-minded in the pursuit of knowledge. That way, any interaction and conversation will always surround knowledge and the betterment of your deen. This is why when someone was asking for advice about how to stick to the pursuit of knowledge, one of the advices was try and find a group, try and find a study group, or try and find some kind of program and meet people there. And if you see that they are positive influence on you, keep in contact with them, inshallah. Having said all of that, and I remember a couple of weeks ago, someone asked a question and said, a lot of students in the class, they're not serious. And what do we do? What can I do to change it? It has a negative impact on me and others. And we spoke about it briefly, but what I want to impress on you today is never to be judgmental. Don't look down on students who do not seem to be serious. For that matter, never judge anyone, not just students. Never judge anyone, even if they're not Muslim and they're sinning. Even if they're a Muslim and sinning, do not judge. We don't know what the fate of people is going to be, right? Subhanallah, Wahshi, who killed Hamza radiallahu anhu, became a sahabi. And we have to say radiallahu anhu. Hind, who ordered the killing of Hamza, became a Muslim, and we have to call her Hind radiallahu anha. Right? There were other people who fought valiantly in the battles during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were companions during that time. But something happened and they left Islam. Right? You don't know what someone's end will be like. Someone might end up becoming an amazing, great scholar down the line when they realize, when Allah gives them the tawfiq and Allah save us. What if down the line Allah has something different for us or had snatched away the tawfiq? Allah save us. People can change. So what you need to do when you encounter someone who is not serious, advise them, make dua for them, but never judge them to be bad or evil. Subhanallah, one of the salaf said, sorry, someone's got a question. Don't the scholars say make 70 excuses for your brothers if they did something bad to not think bad of them? Yes, subhanallah. Of course, scholars say that. Subhanallah, there was a similar quote attributed to Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, someone asked him about a non-Muslim or someone who makes a statement and is deemed to be a non-Muslim. And people said, they asked him a question, this person has said this. Whatever the thing he said, whatever the statement was, but it was an example. And Imam Abu Hanifa asked someone else, what would you say about this person? And they responded, he's a kafir, he's a kafir, he's a kafir. When it came to Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, if someone gives me 70 or so reasons that would take him out of the fold of Islam, but only one that would bring him back in, I would call him a Muslim. Because what if? Ma'adallah, ma'adallah, what if you take one of the 70, but Yawm al-Qiyamah, come Yawm al-Qiyamah and you see him in the glory of Islam. Subhanallah, you have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? One of the Salaf al-Salihun said, anyone who looks down on a person for a sin will not die until Allah subjects him to the same sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Right? If you look down on people for a sin they do, Allah will subject you to that same sin. When you see someone doing something, instead of thinking, Astaghfirullah, what's this guy doing? Say, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah, save me and him from it. Save us both from it. Right? Make dua for the person. Ibn Jama'ah mentions a couple of lines of poetry at the end of the chapter that have to do with socializing, the types of friends you should have. So he says, "Inna afaqa al-sidqi man kana ma'aka, wa man yadurru nafsahu liyanfa'aka, wa man idha raybu zamanin sadda'aka, shattata shamla nafsihi liyajma'aka," which means your friend, your real friend, is the one who is with you and who benefits you at his detriment. He speaks the truth when times are doubtful, and he breaks himself to unite your resolve. Subhanallah. So inshallah, I'll end with that. And if anyone has any questions, you can ask them, or any comments, anything you want to share. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Sometimes if we see someone sin or we know someone sins, is it okay that we make dua that Allah guides both of us and saves us from sinning? Of course, yeah, subhanAllah. That's exactly what we should do, right? Because the last thing, when we see someone sin, if we look at them with eyes of arrogance and superiority, like I'm better than you, then Allah will show you just how better you are. And subhanAllah, the tables could turn in a moment, and you could be in his position and he in yours. Ma'adallah. Any other questions or comments? Please feel free to share, inshallah. وأنتم جزاكم الله خيرا. No problem. Next week we're going to speak about etiquette of a student with teachers. It's probably one of the most important sections of this topic. I think I read from the book that a person should wear black clothes to not cause any destruction. What was the quote from such scholar? Again, right. It was, I can't recall the exact quote, but subhanAllah, certain scholar, I didn't mention this because it's considered one of those ahkam, if you like, that are very, some might consider it quite extreme. But they would wear black clothes or grey clothes so that they wouldn't have to spend as much time washing them. Because sometimes the clothes are still, excuse me, still okay. But in a country, excuse me, in a country that's extremely dry, arid, desert-like, the clothes, the white clothes, tend to get very dusty and they start to lose their color. The white clothes start to look quite bad. And so what certain scholars would do was wear gray clothes or black clothes so they wouldn't have to wash them as often because they were too busy studying the deen, right? But again, as I said, you need to contextualize these things, not just take everything and say, okay, from now on, I'm not going to wash my clothes, or from now on, I'm not going to... Only when people start to get offended by the smell will I change. No, you shouldn't do that, right? This is all about the intention, right? Anyway, someone who did this and his intention was just... It was laziness. It's got nothing to do with the deen. Then what he's doing is absolutely wrong. But some of the elder scholars, they did this. Does that make sense? Yeah, and the quote from Imam Shafi about buying onions. Subhanallah, Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, said, if I spent my time buying onions, I would never have reached, paraphrasing what he said, I would never have reached the level I've reached and been able to study how much I've studied and know what I know if I spent my time buying onions, right? Again, I say this, This is very important. If your mother or father tells you to go to the shop and buy onions, you better go to the shop and buy the onions, right? Birr al-walidain, ita'at al-walidain is first and foremost. That's taqwa, right? Do not tell your parents, wallahi, if I spend my time buying onions, I will never be able to become like Imam Shafi'i. Don't even bother. Right? That's wrong. That's completely wrong. Any other questions, inshallah? Yeah, subhanAllah, this book, there's a lot of other quotes in there. I've had to be selective in what we go through. Which also brings me to another point. Next week, we're going to look at ethic of a student with teachers, but there are certain sections I feel we have to read them from the book, because it's not like the way it's formed is it's progressive. If you're sitting with a scholar, do this. If he does that, then do this. And it's very detailed. And I'm not sure how or I'm not sure how or if it would work by me trying to be selective. So I'm thinking I'll get the Arabic book and I will read from it and read some translation for you, inshallah. Some of the sections that are like that, inshallah. Any other questions or comments? Criticisms as well. If you have some constructive criticisms, then go ahead, inshallah. Right. No questions. Just wanted to say thank you, Jazakallah Khairan. Wise Academy admin team for uploading the PDF to someone. Barakallahu feekum. Wa antum Jazakallah Khairan. No problem, inshallah. Hopefully, inshallah, it'll be of great benefit to you. And then you can spread it further. That benefit, inshallah. Yeah, on the note of being moderate and not going over the top, not going over the top that it starts to lead to acting like an idiot, basically, subhanAllah. There's certain people, they say, subhanAllah, I have no time. I have no time. I'm very busy. And I'm always doing something, I'm always reading, and so on and so forth. And subhanAllah, you know, and what ends up happening is they fall short in tending to the rights of their family, right? Some of them even end up doing great damage to themselves. So there's the famous story, pretty sure it's mentioned in Qimatism. There's a story about a person who was always reading, and he was just everywhere, reading, walking, going somewhere, coming back, reading all the time. And subhanAllah, one day he didn't realize, but he walked right into a ditch and he died. Inshallah, we hopefully have husn of them that inshallah he'll be a shaheed indallah. But you need to be smart. Don't keep a book in the car and drive and occasionally just pick up the book and start reading. Be smart about it. Please make dua for my exams as well next week. Jazakallah khairan. May Allah grant you barakah. Ameen. Yeah, Allah make it easy for you, subhanAllah. My students had exams last week and they've been revising for a while. And that's one thing I don't miss. Well, I miss the exams, but I don't miss the feeling of dread. So, subhanAllah, Allah make it easy for you, inshallah. Allah give you success. Allah give you success in this exam and the ultimate exam in the Akhirah. And I'm assuming a lot of you, if not all of you, are students. So I'd request you guys make dua for me as well, inshallah. I would be remiss if I didn't ask for that. Our teacher would always tell us to try and gain the du'as of the students. As he said, they are the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we've got a couple of minutes left if anyone has any questions. So, as I said, next week, the students with teachers is very important, especially here on Zoom, too, that we know how to interact with our teachers. That's why this course is here, because when you do the main courses, that you know how to interact with the teachers, how to ask them questions, how not to ask them questions, how to try and anticipate things, anticipate how they're feeling or what they might want. Be patient with them. That's a very difficult one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and Wise English Academy team a lot of barakah, give you and the team istiqama and reward. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabb. Jazakum Allah khairan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of you. Without you guys, it wouldn't be possible. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to give us the tawfiq to do more, inshallah. To make us all mukhlis and to unite us in Jannat al-Firdaws, inshallah. Right, we've got a minute or two, so any final comments or questions, you can go ahead and show me.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for all these lessons. May Allah increase you in all ways. My granddaughter, who is 8 years old, is commencing HIFT classes. How can we as a family assist her? Jazakallah.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah khairan. Right. How can you help your daughter in HIFT class? There's actually a course, subhanAllah, this course is for everything now. There's actually a course that might be very helpful to you, sister. I'm just going to stop sharing the screen and I'm going to, inshallah, ask the admin, inshallah. I need to ask the admin to find this, and then what I'll do is I'll ask the admin to upload it, inshallah, right? Because the course is quite interesting and it has a lot of beneficial habits that scholars have always used when doing HIV, right? Because some people just tend to think, well, I should start from Fatiha, Baqarah, and I should just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going until I reach 30, not realizing the concept of takrar or dawr, as some people refer to, but the concept of constant repetition. They'd have double repetition and triple repetition every single day. So they learn a section, the Huffaz, they learn a section every day. And they also recite to the teacher a section for revision. So not only are they learning new lessons every day, they are constantly revising at the same time. Because what tends to happen is you learn what you're learning and you forget all about SubhanAllah. Excuse me, you arrive at Juz 15, you forget all about Juz 1 to 10, SubhanAllah, right? And the Quran needs constant. If anyone wants to be a good hafiz and a God-fearing hafiz, the Quran needs to be their life. I have to say that. I had a couple of friends in madrasa, and SubhanAllah, that was literally how it was. Fajr is when their day starts, number one, right? Fajr is when their day starts. I have friends who you wouldn't consider very practicing, but SubhanAllah, their parents stressed them out when they were young and they have become hafiz, mashallah, alhamdulillah. If anyone needs to leave, by the way, go ahead. I don't want to keep anyone back. I just wanted to give some tips for this sister. So a friend of mine, he's not even practicing, but his parents pressured him into becoming a hafiz. He became a hafiz, alhamdulillah. To this day, he does revision of one juz a day after Fajr in the morning. Because there's a hadith that says the Quran slips away quicker than a camel from its hobbling cord. Right? Ashaddu tafasiyan. It slips away quicker than a camel from its hobbling cord. When a camel gets a chance, it will slip away and run off. Right? The Quran slips away even more than that. Again, it has ghayra. The Quran has ghayra, some self-respect and dignity, and you have to treat it with respect. So constantly, they have to live, breathe, talk, speak the Quran. That has to be it. And SubhanAllah, the rewards will be endless, inshallah. Allah give her tawfiq, inshallah. Allah accept her intention. Allah give her even more, inshallah, in the akhirah. Give her the rewards that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised Huffaz and their families in the akhirah. I'll do though, inshallah, I'll try and find that course or the advice, and I'll speak to the admins, inshallah. We'll try and upload that for you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Right, we're going to end there, inshallah. Just finally, are there any questions? No, there's no questions. Okay. جزاكم الله خيرا for today's us. وإياكم وجزاكم الله خيرا وأنتم جزاكم الله خيرا. Make dua, guys. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.